Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This is the Annie Fry Show.
Indeed, it is the Annie Fry Show. This is John Hancock sitting in for Annie Fry, and she'll be back with us in a few weeks when she bonds with that baby, Molly. It's 97.1 FM Talk, and joining us for his weekly visit is the Heritage Foundation's Vice President for Foreign Policy and Security Policy, Jim Carafano. You can follow him on Twitter at JJ Carafano. That's three A's in Carafano. Hey, Jim, welcome.
So just to show you how long-term that I think, Molly is only days older than my grandson.
Wow, congratulations.
Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking of matching these guys up.
Now, you haven't met Molly yet, so don't you want to, you know, make sure that she's right?
It looks like a pretty deep gene pool for me. I'm good.
Yeah, well, and Annie will have to pay for the wedding, so that's...
It's looking better all the time.
Yeah, where are you going to have the rehearsal dinner, though, Jim?
I think it's a destination wedding.
Uh-huh. That's what the people want to know, Jim.
I wonder if I get a good rate. If I call the Hyatt in Bermuda now, I wonder if I can get a good rate.
Well, you could do it in Cabo if we ever get the border fixed.
That's a segue right there.
That's a segue. Yeah. That's a segue. What is going on our border, and why hasn't Kamala Harris fixed this thing yet?
So there is a I think last time on the show we talked about the part of the crisis that nobody's talking about, which is the opioid flood coming in the United States is an unbelievable high, and you can see that in every American community. The overdose rate is just going through the roof. Literally every day I either see or talk to somebody who said they're dead. You know, they're just dead. A friend of mine was in a hotel. The people next door, they were dead. They literally OD'd in the next hotel room because of the incredibly powerful opioids flooding the community. And this is in the middle America.
I wonder if they can still charge your credit card on that deal.
Yeah, the other part. Yeah, right. The other thing is the public health crisis, because what we're seeing now is, because of the very low rates of vaccination in Latin America, paired with the low rates of vaccination in some of the states in the South, that is creating a perfect storm of we're getting COVID spikes. So even this administration is, you know, they're importing COVID, and it's not creating a national health crisis because when you pair the flood of people coming in, almost none of who are vaccinated, and they're flooding states where you also have low vaccination rates. We're killing more people every day. Joe Biden is killing people. People are dying because of Joe Biden and his open border policies. And that's not meant to be a partisan statement. It's not meant to be cruel or inhuman or whatever else. They have a deliberate policy that is deliberately affecting these outcomes. So when you have a policy, it's like if you put a minefield and then you tell the kids to go run across the minefield, it's your fault the kids die. They're importing more COVID. They're importing drugs. They're bringing the transnational gangs are literally taking up the rank and file and sending them into the United States, because there's never been a better time to do that, so they can build out their transnational criminal network inside the United States. This would be as if, you know, Al Capone and the U.S. government were working together to build a mafia.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that horrible.
No, Jim, I'm really glad that you brought this up, because I feel like in the last couple of weeks, you watch Fox News and well, has Kamala visited the border or not? And it becomes this news story that you almost disconnect from the reality on the ground of the things that you're talking about with COVID, with drugs, with crime. I mean, you haven't even mentioned the economic problems that this is causing for infrastructure, both along the border and now, you know, internal to the United States, the crime, you know, structure that's being created both in Mexico and in the United States. I mean, the effects of this are just staggering. The humanitarian problem, I mean, for kids and things that we've seen little blips of here and there, but we get so focused on whether the politics are, you know, what's Kamala doing,
right,
that we forget that these are having tremendous impacts on real people.
It's a family of crimes.
Yes.
It would be as if Jeffrey Dahmer was Typhoid Mary and he was an arsonist stopping off on the way to set fires, you know, before he ate and cannibalized people. I mean, there are multiple crimes being committed against the American people. And, you know, I go back to what is unbelievable about all this. The policies don't really surprise me. What surprised me is everyday Americans know this is an absolute horrific situation, and they know Joe Biden's responsible. And that's despite the fact that much of the media doesn't want to address it. Congress wants to collude in hiding it. Every pundit in the world wants to ignore it. They're doing everything to distract and dismiss it. But yet everyday Americans in every look up and say, well, this is just wrong, and we know it's wrong. And I got breaking news for you. The reason why they're not sending Kamala Harris to the border is because they just think she'll just whiff it. She'll be horrible. I think she's an embarrassment to them, and I think they're hiding her.
What do you think about all of these states now, you know, Florida saying we'll send our National Guard and things, you know, how much can just the states alone accomplish with no help from the federal government?
Yeah. So they cannot stop this, but while the state action is so absolutely important, is it reminds the American every people today that we are in crisis mode, and that this is an issue that's not going away. So I don't like to create Alamo analogies, because if you were running the canteen in the Alamo, it didn't work out so well for you. But the reality is the Alamo, you know, held off the enemy until, you know, Texas got its act together. What the states are doing is they're keeping the news out there, they're keeping attention on this, and they're struggling to do something, reminding Americans every day that the people running this government are failing them. And I just think that is the Lord's work.
Jim Carafano is our guest. He's the Heritage Foundation's Vice President of Foreign Policy and Security Policy. Maybe you can...
And a heck of a matchmaker.
No kidding.
We'll see. We'll see.
Maybe you can help me here. I don't understand this governing coalition in Israel.
I do.
How can it stand? How can it hold up?
Well, what pulled this together was these were people united by one thought, which is they didn't want Netanyahu to run the government anymore. And
right.
So it is an incredibly broad-based coalition from the right and the left, which are united by getting Netanyahu out of power. It's a pure power politics move. How do they stay in power? Well, the answer is they stay in power by really not doing very much. I mean, they can't really move too far to the left or too far to the right on any domestic issue, because the coalition will fracture. On foreign policy, they're going to have to pretty much maintain a lot of the existing policies, including fighting back on Iran, pressuring the issue, America to continue to be a good partner. So we're going to get a government which I think generally will be a decent partner for the United States because they can't really afford to do much other than that. I mean, actually, I think they'll be a better partner than we deserve. I think I still think the weak sister in this partnership is the Biden administration. Because don't forget, there's a big chunk of Biden's party that would think that the Middle East would be better off if Israel was driven into the sea and if the whole region was run by the Muslim Brotherhood. So I think they'll survive for a bit. They won't make it 4 years, but I think they'll survive for a bit.
You know, the Hamas issue is not necessarily in the news right now, but what surprised me was how much the Abraham Accords, really, these countries seem to want to make something happen even after they knew that Joe Biden was going to take office. Like, this continued into January and February, but has the shakeup here with Israel and Hamas and now Iran and all these things, has this kind of crippled that forward momentum?
Well, it definitely has slowed it, which is tragic because it was the one thing that was absolutely transformative, for the most transformative change in the Middle East, you know, since the collapse of the Ottoman Empire. It's not dead. There are still people fighting for it. This administration isn't really helping. They're not hurting it other than by empowering Iran, but they're not really helping it. If the movement can just hang on till we get better leadership in Washington, there's a real future for this region. What we see right now is in Iran, which wants to negotiate the future of the Iran deal on their terms. If this administration is foolish enough to do that, it'll be an absolute catastrophe. The best case scenario is the Iranians get so greedy and aggressive that even this administration can't deal with them. But if we go back to the Iran deal on Iran's terms, that's going to be, and I'm not sure the Abraham Accords can survive that, because countries will really start to kind of cut and run and say, how can I survive? And they'll want to cut deals with China. They want to cut deals with Russia, because none of them want to be a suburb of Tehran.
Yeah, and you know, you look at the leadership in Iran after the most recent election. You know, they're not going anywhere. They are very hardline and very aggressive in the region.
Right.
One of the biggest challenges that we face, honestly.
Yeah, let me share one thought, which is, if I can, where this all goes back to. You know, in the end, I don't think the Biden administration will completely run off the cliff. And the reason for that is not because they believe in foreign policy or being a good ally of Israel or fighting the Chinese or any of that stuff. It's because they want to get reelected. And in the end, they'll realize really bad foreign policy, Americans won't want them back. And so they will have to defend this country, if for no other reason, because they realize that Americans will not reelect them if they don't defend us in our interests. But this is where the voting issue is so important, and why this debate over HR1 or HR4 or whatever the bill that they want is if you create an election system where the federal government and the country and the party that's in power is essentially setting the rules for the election, and they're not held accountable at the ballot box, then they really won't care about foreign policy. And when things really do start to go south and Iran's out of control and Israel is threatened, they actually won't do anything, because they know they can just get reelected regardless of how stupid they are. So if Americans want to be kept safe, even if you don't have an electoral system where people are actually held accountable for really stupid foreign policy, then these guys will follow their instincts, and their instincts will in the end leave the world on fire. And that's not a partisan comment. That's just me being Nostradamus.
Well, Nostradamus, he knew some stuff.
Got it more right than wrong.
And so does Jim Carafano. He joins us. Hey, before I let you go, just real quick, what do you think the future is in Afghanistan now that the U.S. is pulling out completely?
So that's a really good question. I actually asked the three smartest people in the world on this that question this morning, and they all agreed with it's probably not going to be an instantaneous collapse of the Afghan government. And as long as the West and the continue to engage, Afghanistan will probably go into kind of a soft partition. It's the U.S. We can continue to that not be a complete disaster. But the sad thing is we're actually making our job harder. If that makes sense, is our withdrawal doesn't necessarily mean a catastrophe, because we can still figure out ways to keep that part of the world from falling apart. But it's harder than it would have been if we just stayed the course. But that's where we are today. Who knows where we'll be tomorrow.
That's Jim Carafano. You can follow him at JJ Carafano on Twitter. Thanks so much for joining us.
Right. Following me sounds kind of creepy. It's like people are behind me, like in that commercial. But we'll go with it.
They're right behind you commercial. Right now.
Thanks, guys.
You bet. Thanks. Hey, you know, they're having a hard time finding workers out there. And I learned this by example today. We're going to talk about that when we come back on the Annie Fry Show, 97.1 FM Talk.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What a classic tune that is. It's the Annie Fry Show at 97.1 FM Talk. I'm John Hancock sitting in, and we are enjoying here the very best Lars Nootbaar day that we've ever enjoyed in our lives. Would you guys agree?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. Best and worst.
Yeah. I mean, it's just been incredible, and it keeps getting better. You know, Lars Nootbaar, in case you're not aware, has been called up by the St. Louis Cardinals from the Memphis Redbirds. He's going to make his Major League debut perhaps this evening. And I looked up our good friend. And never heard of Lars Nootbaar before today. Mm-hmm. His real full name, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
This is going to be, wow. Lars Taylor Tatsuji Nootbaar.
That is
no
quite
kidding.
How about it? Nootbaar. Lars Taylor Tatsuji Nootbaar.
Lars, I would have thought he was like Norwegian or
something.
Well,
there's a lot going on there.
No kidding.
I think we would all agree. And he's the possessor of 5 home runs in Memphis this year, 17 RBIs, batting .329. So maybe we've got something here.
Man, you know who's got to be happy about that more than anybody? Dan McLaughlin.
Yes.
Can you imagine calling something Nootbaar?
Yes.
Like it's just fun. It's just fun to say.
Lars Nootbaar Day.
Yeah.
And I'm enjoying the heck out of it. So, you know, everybody's saying they can't find employees these days. And I think it's true. And Katie was telling me earlier, you used to work at a gas station. Huh?
I did. I worked there for a summer. I was the barbecue lady.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, that's
so
big, that's
I was
big time.
Flipping the burgers and the hot dogs and brats and even pulled pork. And then the next, while I was doing my internship with Annie back in the day in 2016, I actually worked inside and I was a clerk for about 6 months. It was great.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Mm-hmm. So I go to my local gas station today and I've noticed that all the usual folks that used to, they're not there anymore, you know. And I walk in there, and a guy's standing there. And look, I understand everybody's, you know, unique and created by God and with certain unalienable rights and so forth. And, you know, and it's one thing for Yadier Molina to have tattoos on his neck. And what I mean, he's perfectly employable that way.
So is Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Apparently.
But this attendant. I mean, the tattoo and the nose, the ring and the nose. I mean, wow. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking to myself, who does that? You know, I mean, what's the point? Do you have a tattoo?
I have no tattoos.
You have a tattoo?
We might be the only two people in the same room that don't have tattoos.
I don't have a
Annie
tattoo.
Annie didn't have a tattoo either.
Whenever wow, she was look at us.
Yeah, Annie didn't have a tattoo.
Yeah.
We're teetotalers.
Well, first of all, I don't want anybody, you know, cutting into my skin like that. You know? And the other thing that
wimps,
I worry about.
That's all it is.
With my luck, I'd have a little fish tattoo, you know, because I'm a Christian, put it on my belly, and a sucker would be Moby Dick by the time I'm. So, you know, so no, I'm not going to get a tattoo, but I don't see how somebody does that to themselves and think they're going to, like, get a job.
Well,
it
used to never, be that way. I hate to be like back in the day because I'm only 28. But
back when you were 24.
Back when I was 24, yeah. 4 years ago. But 16, we were talking about our first jobs yesterday. And even at 16, 17, whenever you're really becoming rebellious and you're doing everything that your parents tell you not to do, one of the things that I remember my parents specifically saying, like, once you get into the work field and once you get your first job, they really won't be looking to hire people with neck or face tattoos, or they might have you take out a bunch of your piercings.
Yeah.
That was something that was just being told to me not long ago, 12 years ago.
I think that's probably still true in certain fields.
Yeah.
I think if you're applying for a job at a gas station, here's a story that actually I'll say that they're probably looking for people with tattoos in certain fields. No kidding. Because when I had a business that I was running until about 2018 that I, with my business partner, ended up kind of shutting my half of the business down. He continued.
Yeah.
But I was looking for work. It was just such a grind. Like, it was supposed to be a creative job. It was TV production. We were doing TV shows and stuff. And we just couldn't. We were getting contracts, but they were like bare minimum contracts. Like, we're barely making it work. We are making it work, but we're doing everything. And that's what a typical business owner knows.
Yeah, sure.
Like, you're going to do 100% of the work. And you can't afford to hire people because you're barely making it. And it just got to the point, and I had little kids, and I still do, but they were even littler then, that it was like, Ryan, you're spending all your time doing this. I don't have enough time for my family. And, you know, we can't crack that ceiling. The whole point was, if we can really crack through, then you can make a whole bunch of money in television.
Sure, yeah.
But we could never quite crack that. We kind of stagnated right at that middle level, and where we couldn't really hire people, and it was all falling on us. And the whole point was to be creative, and we were doing nothing but business. And it was like, this isn't even fun anymore, and I'm putting all of my time into it. So I put myself away from it, gave him kind of the rest of the business, and moved on. We're still friends, and it's great. But I was looking for a job, and I'm like, honey, I just want a job where I don't have to think. Like, I would love to go back into media and end up here, which is how I'm here now.
What you have to think here.
But, which I do, which I'm glad now. But at the time, I was so exhausted that I was like, I just want something. So I ended up driving Uber for, you know, a good year.
Yeah.
Made okay money, but it was like a relaxation.
Yeah, mind-numbing. It was just to do something.
You could make your own hours. It was fine. But during that time, I was just kind of putting out applications just really to show my wife that I'm committed to.
Right.
Getting work, you know, whatever it is, and show her that I'm committed first to family, which is why I did what I did, but second, I'm going to provide for my family. So I put in some applications at places like Target.
Yeah.
I had really no intention of staying long-term at Target.
Yeah.
But I put in applications. And I got an interview at Target during that time, probably 2018. And I went in wearing, you know, a decent outfit, and they took one look at me and they said, we're not going to hire you.
What?
And I'm like,
huh?
What? I'm looking around. I'm like, I see the couple other people waiting in here. I didn't want to be mean, but I'm like, I know that I look
snazzy today.
I look like I'm better for the job, right?
You know, look
like,
marvelous.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with the other people there, but I could tell that like I was dressed to impress. Like I wanted to, you know, come out with my best foot forward.
Well, of course.
And they weren't. And I guarantee you, they told me straight up, we're not going to hire you. And I said, well, can I ask you why?
Yeah.
And they said, because we can tell that you're not going to stay here. You've got higher ambitions.
Ah.
And I'm like, really? And they said, yes. I mean, they were being diplomatic about saying that.
Yeah.
Because I think legally they couldn't quite say, like, well, you're dressed too nice or something, you know.
We can't not hire you because of the way you look.
Yes, this exactly.
Is, yeah, we can't discriminate.
So what you're saying is if you would have had a lion or something tattooed on your forehead, maybe you got the job.
That is what I'm saying.
Huh.
Yeah. So I think that that's there probably in certain fields, but in some now they're like, look, we want to hire somebody who's going to stay, work their way up to management at Target or something, you
right.
know, but that's not you. I can see by looking at your resume and the way that you're dressed that you're not going to stay here because your ambitions are not for this. And they were right.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't even wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I was just looking for something to pass the time.
I mean, that actually does make some sense that they would take that kind of an approach, but wow. I still don't get the whole tattoo thing, Katie. I don't understand it. I don't know why people do it to themselves. I
think it's definitely, especially for my generation, I'm a millennial. Everybody here knows that. Everyone that's listening knows that. And it was very popular, I believe, in the 90s to get tattoos, but still rebellious. Now it's very common.
Everybody's got
them. Now it's very common. I mean, they don't really have to have any significance anymore either. I'm someone that I don't mind tattoos. I'm perfectly okay with them. Mm-hmm. I just have never found anything that I wouldn't regret getting. I have never found anything that I'm like, let me ink this on my body.
Forever.
Right. And tomorrow I'm going to wake up and say, that was a good choice. Never have I found something like
241-9797. If you got a tattoo out there and can explain to me why it's a thing, and especially if you got them on your head and stuff.
I did have my nose pierced for a while, and I loved that.
Well, you're out of our club.
It was great.
What was that? So you got the on the nose thing there. You got the round thing that goes in, and then you got just the one little stud.
Both. I had both.
You had both going on.
Yep. One time I had a hoop, and another time I had
hoop,
a little
that's
stud,
what they call that
and
thing.
I loved it. It was so great.
And she had a chain going from her nose to her ear.
I dyed my hair black.
Wow.
And I wore all black.
She acted sad all the time.
Wow.
Total goth, Katie.
Well, there's nothing more exciting than that, is there?
Nothing more exciting than goth, Katie.
Yeah, I've never had a pierced anything and never had a tattoo, and I don't think I ever will.
I went through a phase when I was, 18, 19-ish, college, somewhere around there, where I was like, oh, man, a lot of my friends were getting like little tattoos. There's just something little that sort of was like unique to them.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. I don't know if I'll do it, but I was thinking about it. And I had just become a Christian at that time, roughly. I must have been 20, 21. That's when I became a Christian.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, well, maybe I'll just get like a little cross somewhere, like over my heart or something like that. And I was really considering doing that. This is really personal. But as I got ready to kind of, my mind was there.
Right.
And I was like, okay, maybe I'll do this. Like, maybe I'll really go through with actually getting a tattoo. I never thought of myself as a tattoo guy. Maybe I will be. I felt like it was almost like a Holy Spirit thing that he was like, well, why don't you show people without a tattoo?
Hey.
And I was like, whoa, that's cool. I don't know if it was Holy Spirit or not. Like, it was just something that always stuck with me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That whenever we talk about tattoos, that comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
That was the Holy Spirit.
It must have been.
It had to have been. Well, that was a conversation I didn't expect to have today about tattoos and the Holy Spirit.
We're all getting tattoos this weekend.
That's right. Yay!
We have just one more segment left on this edition of the Annie Fry Show during Lars Nootbaar Day. We'll be back after this on 97.1.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show here at 97.1. It's John Hancock. I'm filling in for Annie while she is away, and she'll be back with you. And I know is looking forward to getting back with you. Jeff has been patient and waited on hold. Jeff, welcome to 97.1.
Thank you.
So
I just wanted to say, I heard you guys talking about tattoos, and I've got probably 50 or 60 of them. I've got my arms covered and my chest. And,
woo!
Yes, sir.
Wow. All right, go ahead.
I was in the Marines, so I could tell you where in the world I was when I got each one.
Yeah.
I can tell you what I was feeling when I have each one. And I have some people that question me, like, why would you do that to your body? And I ask them, why would you buy a painting and hang it on the wall where nobody can see it?
So it's an expression of art for you.
Hey, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Have you had any trouble with, like, employment or anything, like, because you have so much? Like, is it visible or are they kind of hidden?
I don't have anything from the collar of my neck up. Like, from my shirt sleeve down, I have them, but they stop at my wrist. And I was always raised that if you're going to get them, make them from the wrist down to your fingertips clean, and, like, from the collar of your neck up, so your neck and your face and stuff are clean. But, like, your chest, your arms, your legs, and stuff like that were all fair game for whatever art you have.
Well, there you go. What's your favorite one, Jeff?
I would probably have to say the Marine Corps emblem that I have over my chest.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Semper Fi.
It would either have to be that one or the special tattoo. While my friend was doing my sleeve, my daughter made one request that I not get any eyeballs, so he had to put an eyeball right above my wrist where my watch sits. So that one is there for every time she sees me, she sees it.
Well, that's cool. There's a man with three eyes. Thank you so much, Jeff. Take care. Wow. Well, there you go.
Thanks, Jeff.
50 or 60 tattoos.
It's a lot.
Yeah, just before we move on to a bit of breaking news,
yeah,
I want to sort of get ahead of, because I'm seeing the chyrons for it on Fox and on CNN, and it's going to sound like it's a bigger deal than it is. So the headline has read, Manchin, we're all talking about Manchin, he's the center of the universe right now. Joe Manchin and Chuck Schumer strike a deal ahead of the election bill vote.
Yeah.
So they're apparently working together that they're going to try to strike a deal to vote on the voting overhaul, H.R. 1,
right,
that we've all been talking about.
Horrible legislation.
It's trying to take over basically elections.
That's right.
And make them the same as the COVID era, but for permanently. But it's not what it sounds like. So let me just read this. This is from The Hill. It says, under the deal, Manchin will provide a 50th Democrat vote on advancing the For the People Act, which apparently it doesn't mention cinema at all. So apparently she's on board with this.
Yeah.
Though it will still fail to overcome Tuesday's procedural hurdle because of a GOP filibuster that requires 60 votes. So basically this is just them posturing. Nothing's really going to happen with it. He's just saying, I'm in line with the Democrats, so that he can probably curry a little bit of more favor.
Yeah.
Because he's been getting a lot of heat lately for bucking the party. So I think this is his way of saying, well, I'm not really bucking the party. I'm with you on this. However, I'm not going to vote to get rid of the filibuster, and so nothing's
going on. He crafted the so-called compromise that included voter ID, or some version of voter ID. Jen Psaki, the president's press secretary, she really put a bullseye on this issue yesterday.
It's important to remember that this has been a 60-year battle to make voting more accessible, more available to Americans across the country. And our effort, the president's effort to continue that fight doesn't stop tomorrow at all. This will be a fight of his presidency. In terms of the steps he's taken, he's had conversations, obviously, with members about supporting this legislation, including Senator Manchin, as you all know, over the last couple of weeks. And he will continue to advocate. He's also asked his vice president, or agreed with his vice president, that she will be in charge of this effort moving forward.
Well, that's reassuring. If Kamala Harris is in charge, we know it's going nowhere. You know, Jen Psaki, as a sideline before we get too far into this, does it bother you guys the way the mainstream media just fawns over her.
Oh, my God.
As opposed to, and they would go after Kayleigh McEnany or Sarah Huckabee, you know, relentlessly. And this gal is treated like, you know, some kind of a rock star saint.
Mm-hmm. And they it's funny their approach to Jen Psaki when she gets sassy or whenever she gets a jab in with the press or whenever she doesn't want to answer a question. So she gives like this kind of arrogant remark.
Yeah.
The way that they love that she does that because she's combative with the press.
Uh-huh.
And the way that Kayleigh McEnany actually had to handle really hard, really tough questions. And yeah, she would probably get a little snippy or a little bit direct. And the types of headlines that came out about Kayleigh McEnany for being direct or for being a little bit snippy were
such a double standard.
Oh my gosh, absolutely crazy compared to what they're saying about Jen Psaki.
Not to mention the amount of sort of combative, if you want to call that, questions that she's getting. Basically, Peter Ducey.
That's it.
Yeah. The rest of them, they're all buddies.
Yes.
They go to the cocktail parties together. They're all part of the press corps. Yeah. They know each other. She was a part of the Obama administration.
Right.
She's been around forever. They're all friends.
Yeah, and you know, that's a should be a very difficult job.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
A press secretary for a president, and the relationship with the press should be adversarial. But this has been, I mean, the bending. I saw an interview on CNN a few weeks ago with a bald-headed guy, and he interviewed Jen Psaki.
Stelter.
Yeah.
Brian Stelter.
And it was
embarrassing.
It was really embarrassing. I mean, God, he couldn't have fawned anymore. I thought he was going to ask her out on a date. I mean,
I know.
He's basically drooling.
Yeah, that one in particular was beyond. I mean, there's sometimes that we grab clips that were like, look what they're doing here. That on a given day, it probably wouldn't make your radar. But that one in particular was like, look, we don't even have to set this up. Like, this is just a joke. This is a joke. He's asking her, tell me how to do my job better, Mrs. Press Secretary.
Yeah. And how
like,
are
what
you,
do you want me to do?
Yeah, how hard is it being a mom? Come on. Mm-hmm. It's a press secretary. Even Fox with Trump's people weren't that fawning. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we could talk. We do. We talk about the double standards because they are so, they're so
very
glaring.
True.
They've always been there. They've never been more glaring than now. One of the things we talked about last week, Katie, I don't think we got too far into it, but can you imagine if some of the things, even a portion of the pie of the things that Hunter Biden has done had been done by one of Donald Trump's kids?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, we all would rightfully be criticizing those things. But because it's Biden as the last name, it's like, oh, he needs to get treatment.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Yeah. He's got a
Biden
problem.
Hunter actually was saying racial slurs. They are written
about
in emails.
Text.
In
about
emails.
Getting, you know, about sleeping with women.
And even that portion, but even more, he said even outside of that one specific story, there have been multiple stories and multiple accounts of what Hunter Biden has said that are racial slurs that were written in emails and text messages. And everybody's like, but come on my show and let's talk about your book.
Yeah.
Let's do a book
tour. Buy your art.
Come on. It's crazy.
It is crazy. Is it a double standard or like a, you know, six tuple standard? I mean,
it doesn't even matter anymore. It was like for a while they tried to hide it, and now they're like, oh, who cares? Well, let's just treat this guy better. Let's go after Jimmy Kimmel's now going after Ron DeSantis because they think he's the next guy. Have you noticed they do like a what's crazy in Florida segment now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the comedians, you know, comedians used to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, back in the day.
End of sentence.
Yeah, and they were, when they got political, they'd take shots at both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And I never minded that, you know, David Letterman or Johnny Carson, you know, and they'd take a shot at Reagan, and I love Ronald Reagan. But it didn't bother me because I knew they'd make fun of the Democrat too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case anymore. Comedy has become every bit as polarized and partisan as our politics is. You know?
Yeah, it's weird that that's one of the legacies of Trump, is that up until him, if you were a Republican, you were expected to kind of laugh along with that stuff. And he just didn't. It was like everybody else had just been coached, well, you have to take your shots. And he was like, no, I'm not going to take shots. I'm going to sit there, look grumpy anytime anybody makes fun of me. And now going forward, that's going to be, you know, if it's DeSantis, that's the way he's going to do it, too. He's not going to laugh along with that stuff.
Yeah, I think that's right. I learned something today.
Oh, did you?
Aside from your investment thing, which was very interesting, I learned that peanuts are a poor food to eat if you're hosting a radio show.
You bet your bottom dollar.
So I brought my little peanuts and I ate it. And I was and so I won't be making that mistake again. What is the food of choice for a radio host?
None. Huh. No food.
Yeah, we don't ever eat lunch.
Before.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't eat lunch.
We do.
Well, we do try. We try, but it's, you know, that is the worst. Peanuts.
Yeah.
Any nuts of any kind are the worst.
Anything salty, crunchy.
Oh, these are even unsalted. So stinky. it's not even worth it.
Stinky.
One time I ate in the studio, I ate a tuna packet.
Ooh,
I warned Annie because Annie is very sensitive to food.
Uh-huh.
She's very sensitive.
In particular.
And, really?
But she loves me.
No seafood
so
for Annie.
I had a little tuna packet that I told her beforehand. I'm like, hey, I'm opening this up. I'm going to eat it very quickly. I know it's not ideal, but it's the only thing I got going for me today. And I was starving. So I would say anything like that is really bad too. God bless her. She was like, okay, that's fine. But I ate it in the studio.
Well, we've diagnosed it. We've diagnosed it now. It's called misophonia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She, it's especially pronounced on the radio too, because you know, where I have, you know, audio,
people
audio,
making
everything.
A lot of money suing over that, aren't they?
But she doesn't like hearing chewing, eating sounds.
My daughter's that way.
And there are a lot of people that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's something that is real.
Yeah, yes. I never heard it. My daughter, she can't stand to
you
be
tell
next
your daughter.
To me when I eat. What's it called?
Mesothelioma? No.
Oh, that's what I knew you were making a joke, but I was like, I'm not connecting the dots.
See,
there it is.
There it was. See, my humor sometimes, it'll take a day later and you'll think, oh, yeah, that was
good.
That wasn't
one.
Very funny.
Everybody thinks you're funny way down
Sorry.
The line.
Sorry, let me get that name again.
Now I want to say mesothelioma. Misophonia.
Oh, gosh. Annie says it all the time. One of our listeners.
I think it's misophonia.
Misophonia.
Yeah.
Well, I've learned two things today. Yeah. And all of it on one of the great days of all time, of course.
Yep.
Lars Nootbaar Day.
Misophonia is what it is.
Misophonia.
Yeah.
Misophonia on Lars Nootbaar Day. And Lars will be making his debut for the Cardinals tonight. It has been just a rare pleasure to have spent these 3 hours with you, Iggy, and with you, Katie. And we'll do it again tomorrow on the Annie Fry Show right here on 97.1 FM Talk. We'll see you. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.